A trio of U.S. agencies give warning about Russian attacks. Microsoft discloses 25 critical flaws in IoT and OT devices, and more on this week's episode of Bear Security. Welcome to Bear Security, a weekly quick take on topics affecting our businesses, clients, careers, and communities in cybersecurity. I'm Chris Kly, and here are the stories for the week of May 1st, 2021. Our top story is regarding a collectively released advisory from the FBI, CISA, and the DHS regarding cyber operations of the Russian Foreign Intelligence Service, or SVR. The alert advises that cyber actors for the SVR, also known as Advanced Persistent Threat Number 29, will continue to seek intelligence from U.S. and foreign entities through cyber exploitation, gaining access and persistence using a range of methods such as password spraying, leveraging zero-day vulnerabilities, and using malware known as WellMess and commercial tools such as Mimikatz and Cobalt Strike. The SVR is currently known for targeting government networks, think tanks, policy analysis organizations, and information technology companies. The alert also outlines several useful recommendations, such as enforcing MFA on internal systems, ensuring reporting of AV and endpoint monitoring solutions, monitoring script executions, and watching for credential disclosure or misuse. A link to the full alert is available in the description. Microsoft published on their MSRC blog that Section 52, their Azure Defender for IoT Security Research Group, has uncovered a series of critical memory allocation vulnerabilities named Bad Alloc. These vulnerabilities, which total 25 different CVEs, exist in the device's standard memory allocation functions spanning their real-time operating systems, embedded software development kits, and the C standard library implementation. Exploitation of these vulnerabilities would enable an adversary to bypass security controls, to execute malicious code, or cause a system crash. This can be a major issue for any organization who utilizes or relies on IoT and OT devices. A link to the research and the full list of impacted vendors can be found in the description. If you use Apple macOS, you'll probably want to update immediately. Security researchers have found a flaw in macOS that seems to have been introduced back in version 10.15 that allows hackers to bypass the security controls on macOS and take over a victim's computer. This includes being able to bypass features such as Gatekeeper, file quarantine, and app notarization requirements. Even worse, malware authors have already been exploiting this in the wild as a zero day. While a potential victim still has to execute a malicious file to be exploited, macOS would fail to show the user any alert, prompt, or block the file from running, allowing it to be successful and leaving the user unaware. Apple has released a patch to address this in version 11.3 of macOS Big Sur, and they have also deployed rules to detect malware abusing the bug to its antivirus app XProtect. SickCodes posted on Friday a zero day that affects Python 3.8 through 3.10 that improperly validates IP addresses. This results in allowing unauthenticated remote attackers to perform indeterminate SSRF, RFI, and LFI attacks on programs that rely on the standard library. For full details on the vulnerability, including a proof of concept, you can find a link in the description. F5 Networks is in the news again, per reporting by thehackernews.com, this time being found vulnerable to Kerberos KDC spoofing. This bypass vulnerability impacts the F5 Big IP application delivery services and allows an attacker to bypass the Kerberos authentication to the Big IP Access Policy Manager, thereby allowing them to bypass security policies and gaining unfettered access to sensitive workloads. Researchers also report that in some cases, it can be used to bypass authentication to the Big IP admin console as well. F5 Networks has released patches to address the weakness for versions between 12.1.6 to 15.1.3, but a patch for version 16 is expected at a future date. They also recommend customers review their security advisory to assess their exposure and get details on mitigations. Recommendations include configuring MFA or deploying an IPsec tunnel between the affected systems and Active Directory. Researchers from WeHoo360NetLab have reportedly uncovered a stealthy Linux malware that has been undetected for at least 3 years. The malware, dubbed Rhoda Jakiro, targets x64-based Linux servers and runs on a different path of execution to establish persistence based on whether the user logged in is root or non-root, and it also uses rotate encryption. It uses a multitude of encryption algorithms to encrypt the resource information and for its C2 communications, helping keeping it obfuscated as long as possible. A total of 12 functions have so far been identified that can gather device metadata, sensitive information theft, carry out file operations, and download and execute plugins retrieved from its C2 server. So far, only 4 samples have been found, going back as far as 2018, as seen from VirusTotal. The embedded C2 domains appear to have been registered as far back as 2015. The researchers are still unsure of the purposes and how many infections this malware has had, but they have identified similarities between Rhoda Jakiro and the Tori botnet. SC Magazine reported that last Sunday, Europol concluded their 3-month-long process of dismantling the Emotet botnet, a time-activated DLL that was sent to victim machines starting back in January, began to delete the malware from systems this past Sunday. This comes after the FBI performed a similar activity back in January, affecting systems that were based in the United States. While this essentially removes the backdoor and Emotet, it does not address any secondary malware that may have been downloaded by Emotet onto target systems during the time it was infected. Administrators should still look for signs of secondary infections if they identify they were indeed infected with Emotet. CyberScoop is reporting that Coveware, a ransomware response firm, is warning that the average demand for digital extortion payments have increased in the first quarter of 2021 to around $220,000. The median payment jumped as well from $49,000 to around $78,000. A majority of ransomware attacks also involve the theft of corporate data, with 77% of them including the threat to publish stolen data, up 10% from prior periods. While this is the experience of one firm, it definitely suggests that ransomware groups and their methods of extortion will continue to increase this year while governments look at ways to get them under control. We also have 2 updates on the stories reported from last week. Our first update is regarding the breach of CodeCove. The Register is reporting that HashiCorp has confirmed that their private code signing key was exposed as part of the CodeCove breach. Attackers could have used the stolen key to modify HashiCorp's products while signing them with the genuine key, but so far there is no evidence of such use. HashiCorp has also reported that they have validated existing releases, revoked the exposed key, and re-signed their downloads with a new one. As mentioned last week, we can definitely expect to hear more as the investigation into the CodeCove breach is ongoing. Our second update regards the ongoing work by the University of Minnesota to resolve what led to them being banned from contributing to the Linux kernel. ARS Technica reported that the university posted a nearly 800-word open letter last Saturday that was called more of a, wait, you don't understand, than an actual apology. Ongoing responses from the university appear to only be further failing to address the concerns the Linux Foundation and the kernel maintainers have raised. The university has instead opted for language that suggests the school is sole focused on the idea that the policy wasn't breached regarding research, while using reasoning as to what qualifies as human research, which seems exceptionally narrow and is not in alignment with more modern day considerations. You can get links to the ARS Technica article and the most recent response in the description below. That's all for this week's episode of Bear Security. Thanks for tuning in. As always, links for everything mentioned can be found in the description. Come back every Saturday or visit our website, syntaxbearer.io, for other formats that are available. Be sure to like and subscribe, and if you have any comments or would like to see us cover something, just let us know. In solidarity, this is Chris Kly signing off. Stay safe out there, friends.